Hello and welcome to The Way, the podcast, and this is for Sunday, the 19th of September. And wow, we are really racing through September now, aren't we? Yeah, lots of big things happening. So, you're probably all back at school now, and some of you may even be preparing to start college this coming week. Some of you may have gone back to college or university this week. But yeah, we're just hoping that everything is going really well for you. It's me again, Jacob, and I'll be leading you through this session of The Way, the podcast. Firstly, a couple of notices for you. Our first youth-led service, which was at the beginning of this month, was really, really good. And we're hoping to have another one, and it'll be ongoing for the first evening service of every month. The next one being the 3rd of October will be another youth-led service. So if you can, or would like to be involved, please speak to me or one of the other youth leaders, and we will get you involved in some way. Yeah, if nobody does come forward, then we're gonna just have to pick on people to get you involved. But either way, I'm sure it'll be absolutely fine. If you're not involved, please come anyway, and it'll be a really good service. It'll be hopefully very, very engaging. It won't be too strenuous of a Sunday evening. I know that, you know, Sunday evening you tend to be a little bit tired and you've got a lot on into the week ahead, but please come to that because it will really uplift you. It'll be real encouragement to you and also to everyone around who gets to see you there. So please come along to that. That's Sunday the 3rd of October at 6:30 at SBC. Second point, we are hoping to start a youth social committee in the coming weeks. So we have lots of ideas of day trips, of camping, of festivals, of gigs that we'd like to go to, but we need some of you guys, some of the young people on board on that to organize, to say what would be a good idea and what maybe not wouldn't be a good idea. But basically, yeah, we're looking for some people to get on there, and it'll be all brand new, but a youth social committee. So if again you'd like to be involved in that, that'd be great. Please speak to me or Kuda or another one of the youth leaders, and yeah, we'll try and get some meetings set up for that so we can get some dates in the diary for activities. Lastly, we are hoping to start up again Youth Cafe Church. So that'll be basically before the morning service. Probably do it every kind of 6 weeks, so it's not every single month, but we'd love to just basically do an informal style mini church service / fellowship time with breakfast. We'll do it really continental, like lots of pastries, croissants and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, and stay tuned for that because we'll get a date organised for that very, very soon. So we are going to come to God's word, and before we do that, let's pray. We're going to do the prayer drill. So hopefully everybody knows how to do that now. It's just 1, 2, 3. So 1, your arms go out in front of you, 2, your arms are folded, and then 3, we bow our heads and we pray. So let's do that. 1, 2, and 3. Father God, we thank you for another day. We thank you that today we're able to worship you, we're able to gather and or even just be wherever we are to learn something from your word. And I just pray that it speak to our hearts today. It'd be an encouragement for the week ahead, and it would just equip us to live our lives each day for you. We ask it in your name. Amen. So today, we actually have 3 miracles. But before we come to that, we have a little bit of an icebreaker. And for that is another country. So here are some clues of the new country for this week. So 4 or 5 points, and just think of this in your head. It is a country in Africa with a star on its flag. Any ideas? A country in Africa with a star on its flag. I'm not sure how many countries in Africa have a star on their flag, so if this is the only one, you may know already. For 4 points, it's Africa's largest producer of gold. For 3 points, Kofi Annan was from this country and served as the US Secretary General from 1997 to 2006. Kofi Annan's a very, very important looking guy. He's from this country and he was working for the US government for many years. So you may recognise him. Do you know which country it is yet? For 2 points, this country is the second largest producer of cocoa beans used in chocolate making around the world. Second largest producer of cocoa beans. And for 1 point, its capital city is Accra. Any guesses? The country, of course, is Ghana. And a couple of other interesting facts about it. It's famous for butterflies, and it's home to 600 species of different butterflies. It's also has a very interesting, you could sort of call it an NHS system. Traditional healers make up about 70% of the country's health system. So some interesting facts for you there about Ghana. Okay, so let's read God's word. And firstly, we're going to read from Matthew and chapter 8 and verses 5 through to 13. So that's Matthew chapter 8 and verses 5 to 13. And I would just say before we do that, make sure you're comfortable. Make sure you're sat somewhere where you can listen well. And yeah, let's get into it. So Matthew 8, chapter 8, that is, and verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. I'm going to run forward now to Mark and chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. So Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. And our last reading is just from later on in the book of Mark. So Mark chapter 10 and verses 46 to 52. Mark chapter 10 verses 46 to 52. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Three quite different stories there that we read from the different Gospels. And I just want to pick up a couple of different thoughts from each of them. Firstly, the story of the centurion or the soldier in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 13. It's quite interesting what's going on there because this guy is not a Jew. He's not initially a follower of Jesus, and he's not even of the same people group. And yet, this man comes to Jesus and asks him to heal his servant who is paralyzed. But notice that actually he doesn't say to Jesus, "Come and lay hands on him." He hasn't said, "Come and speak to him." He doesn't say, "Come and rub some mud on him" or anything like that. He just says, "Just say the word and it'll be done." And it's incredible faith, isn't it? Just that expectation that this man will be healed because of Jesus just speaking. And not even in his presence, just saying the word and he's healed. And we know from the story that the man is healed, that the centurion's servant is healed in that instant because of the faith of the centurion. The centurion was a man, and this is kind of where we get the word century from. It means 100. So he was commander over 100 other soldiers, and he was very, very respected and would have been quite wealthy, hence why he had servants. So he here is, even though he's in a position of authority, he recognises that Jesus is also someone of authority. Now, the man's faith is really interesting, but also Jesus' response to it. In verse 10 and 11 and 12, Jesus responds, and when Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." And it's really interesting there because actually we this morning or this afternoon, evening, whenever you're listening to this, myself and you guys, we are all the people that Jesus is speaking about there, that we come from the east and the west. We're not, as far as I know, most of us are not Jews who have come to Christ. We are just outsiders. We're people from all around the world who have come to know and love Jesus. And Jesus is saying exactly that people will come from all over the world to be part of God's family, part of the family of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Elsewhere in the Bible, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is now and not yet. And so he was establishing the kingdom when he came to earth, but also he's continuing to establish and build his kingdom through us when we come to faith in him. So here's a question for you. Do you have the same kind of faith as the centurion here? Do you have faith that says, Jesus, if you want something to happen, just speak the word and it'll happen? It's something to remember, something to keep in mind, and certainly something for me that I have to think, yeah, Jesus can and he does heal. He only has to say the word. Flipping forward to our next story in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And this is where, you've probably heard lots of Sunday school stories on this already, where this man is paralysed and his friends dig a hole in the roof and lower him down into the building in front of Jesus. And it's the faith, not just of the man. I mean, we don't really know much about the man here who is paralysed and gets healed. But we do know that his friends have faith for him. Just like the centurion, it was the centurion's faith in Jesus that healed this other person. So I wonder, are there times when our faith for somebody else's healing can have weight? I say yeah. We can pray and ask God to heal other people, and he does. He can and he does. I just heard a story this morning where it's another church in Sitting Bull, and they had a meeting where anyone was allowed to just come in, and it was a healing meeting. And this young man came in to the church, and nobody knew at the time, but he was blind in one eye. And he was at the service and he asked for healing, but wasn't very specific. He just said, yeah, I believe that God can heal. And he was healed. Didn't think very much of it, but like, yeah, he was blind in one eye, now he can see. And he didn't see it as a huge miracle. He just expected it because he heard that Jesus could do that. Now, later on down the line, this guy had obviously become a Christian and went to the church again. And the church leader said, yeah, how did you become a Christian? And he said, well, I was here and I was blind in one eye and then Jesus healed me. And the people were like, well, why didn't you say something at the time? And he said, well, doesn't that happen all the time? And it was the surprise of the church leaders that actually said, you know, maybe we weren't expecting God to heal. We didn't have that kind of faith that didn't even need Jesus to come and heal a person, but he could just do it just by the power of his word. So I think sometimes that for us needs to be where we need to have more faith, that actually we can just ask Jesus, and if we trust and have faith that he can heal, he absolutely can. So the faith of the friends heal this one man. And then if we skip forward again to the last story, and that's in Mark chapter 10 and verses 46 to 52. And this guy, we actually know his name, we know a little bit more about him, and he ends up following Jesus a lot more. His name's Bartimaeus. And in this story, he is the one who has faith, but it's other people around him that are quiet and in turn to be quiet, like rebuking him, it says. But Jesus hears this man's cry, this call for help, this call of faith in many ways as well. And we know from the story that Jesus just asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, Jesus says, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Another point I want to make is that when God does something, when Jesus does something in your life and he brings healing, what do we do with that? What's our response? Is it to follow Jesus? Or do we just go back to doing our own thing? There are other stories in the Gospels where Jesus heals 10 lepers and they all get healed, and 9 of them just go on their way and 1 of them comes back. And I wonder, which one would you be in that story? Would you be the one that comes back to Jesus and follows him and realises what God has done in your life and follows him for the rest of your days? In a different sense, and probably in the more spiritual sense, when Jesus heals us of our sin, when we trust in him to heal us of our sin, do we follow Jesus? Do we follow Jesus after that healing? It's a question maybe that we need to just kind of sit on and walk with, because there are going to be times in our life where we probably don't want to follow Jesus, where we'd prefer to do our own thing. But actually, when we realise that we've been healed, it's the best place to be, is to follow after Jesus. It's never easy. It's often difficult. We know from last week that actually, 2 weeks past, that when you follow Jesus, you give up a lot of things, but ultimately you gain everything. So I hope that this session has been encouraging to you, that God can and he does heal, and he asks, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do for you? There might be a situation in your life that you are struggling with at the moment, and Jesus is asking you, what do you want me to do for you? So Jesus is asking, where do you want healing in your life? And he's willing and ready to give healing. All you have to do is ask for it. So I hope that's a blessing, and I hope that's an encouragement. And before we close up, let's pray. Father God, again, we just thank you for this time together. Thank you that you are a God who loves us and that you have a plan for each of our lives. Lord, we just thank you that you are a God who heals and restores situations to fullness and to health. And Lord, we just thank you that you are a God who desires to heal. So Lord, if there are areas in our lives and things that we struggle with, ailments that we might have, Lord, we ask for healing. Father, we just thank you that you bring about healing in many different ways as well. And sometimes it's in stages, sometimes it's not instantaneous, but it's a journey and a struggle. And Lord, you have provided so many things in modern times, Lord, like medicine and doctors and various treatments that we can have, Lord. All these things are restoring to our health and do heal, Lord. So we just thank you for them. And we just pray that where there are systems in place, where there are doctors, where there is medicine, Lord, I just thank you for that. And thank you that that is a sign of your healing offered to us. So Lord, we just thank you and we just ask for a blessing upon this week. Where we are struggling, where we are anxious about the week ahead, I just pray that you give us peace right now. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you guys again for tuning in to this podcast, this episode of The Way. And yeah, please, if there are any things that you want more discussion on, let me know. And if you'd like to be involved in any of the notices that I said at the start, so the youth-led service or the social committee, then please get in touch. And we'll hopefully see you very soon. Take care. God bless.